After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, AfterBuzzers. We're here channeling our inner 30-year-old, and we're about to whoop it up. It's the after show for the Real Housewives of Orange County.
Yeah, let's whoop it up.
I'm your host, Grant Rutter, and with me, the full panel is back.
Delayed whooping. We're back.
We're here in full effect.
We're never leaving you. No. 20-some episodes in, we are never leaving you.
Never.
My name is Christy Olsen, and you guys can all hit me up on all the social media platforms at Christy Reports.
And I am Allison Dean, and you can hit me up on all the various ways you can hit me up at the Allison Dean. Yay!
And I'm Blake V, and you can go ahead and hit me on up at Twitter and Instagram at Blake V Media.
Third time's a charm.
There you have it.
I like it.
Wait, we forgot Grant, though.
It's very important. Where can they hit you up, Grant?
Hit me up at Grant's _rants on Twitter. And Grant Michael Lauren on Instagram.
Wow, that's Grant Michael.
See,
that's
so formal. See, it's so
formal. It sounds like a prince of a certain land. Oh, Grant. Yeah. Wait, say it again.
Grant Michael R.
Wow.
On Instagram.
Oh, okay.
Very
good.
Okay.
Fancy.
Yeah, it does sound fancy. All right.
I want to talk about this location that we had, that we saw today, Tahiti. We were greeted by beautiful waters, beautiful views, and then a man's balls.
So true.
Well,
that was the perfect synopsis right there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We didn't quite see it, but Tamara sure did. And maybe second to that visual exposure was Moorea. Wasn't it so beautiful?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
It was gorgeous.
Yes. Can we go there?
Yeah, please. We need an after show trip. Can AfterBuzz take us there?
I would love to stay in one of those rooms. I feel like I saw the location that they stayed at on some type of Travel Channel show. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing like there was like a hatch in like the floor that opened. It was similar to what they had. I don't know if it was a certain type of suite or whatever, but that to me would be ideal. That to me is going on a vacation.
So true.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
Just don't order Fireball.
No, you're not
right. There may be a little language barrier ordering your Fireball.
It won't matter. You're in
paradise. Yes. What do you need the Fireball for? That's for when you're back home.
There you go.
Some people, they live for an Alaskan cruise or to go backpacking through somewhere. But to me, that is a vacation.
Yes. There you go. I know, pure relaxation. I'm with you.
And sharks.
Yeah.
Yes. Many.
It's not a vacation without sharks.
Just pure relaxation and sharks.
They were little ones.
Yeah, no, I would have done it.
They were friendly.
Totally.
Well,
totally.
While we enjoyed the location, I was a little thrown off by one storyline that we had. We had EPT and Clear Blue make a visit on this trip, and I'd love to know where they found these pregnancy tests on the island.
Oh, well, they have pregnancy tests, I'm sure, on the island.
Yeah, I mean, people get pregnant there.
Yeah, but it was just, I mean, the way they set it up, you're, like, way out of, like, you know, you're nowhere near
anything. They get deliveries.
Right.
I know, I don't picture, like, EPT hanging in a little hut somewhere, you know? So I figure it must be, like, out.
It was probably a very posh hotel. Yeah, I'm sure they have all the amenities one could need. Yeah.
I don't know. I've never had to look for them, so I don't know how common they are, but I didn't think that would be the easiest thing, perhaps, to find on an island.
Yeah, you were feeling bad for whatever PA had to go out and hop on their bicycle and to
track that down.
Because they had to take that
totally.
They had to take that crazy ferry in.
It's also possible that the production knew that they were going to introduce this into the storyline and just have like a case of pregnancy.
I know, as shocking as that sounds, I'm a little more on that track. I feel like that might have been a little preconceived.
But you know, I'm also of the it could be A or it could be the fact that yes, they have access to pregnancy tests. Right. All over.
I'm just having fun because it seems that they were out in the middle of nowhere, and then here these two tests show up. But anyway,
but you're kind of so enamored with this. But with the ladies, I would like to sort of point out the point. Wouldn't you like to know this before you went on vacation?
Yes.
Yeah. Wouldn't you have gone and figured this out and gotten this all straightened out before you hit?
And even her Lizzie's reasoning for the whole thing initially was just kind of very sudden. It was like, oh, I just feel it. I just feel like I am.
It just might be.
You know? Okay.
A mother's intuition.
Maybe it's different for women who have had children before. Maybe it's not that big of a deal.
Right.
But I think I would have handled this situation a little differently.
It's a little more serious, I think. Right?
I think if you're going on vacation with a lot of ladies that like to whoop it up, you would probably want to know if you could whoop it up.
Totally. Right. And then someone accused her of not wanting to whoop it up, and that's why she made up the story. Mm-hmm. But even if that were the case, why wouldn't she want to whoop it up? Like, what is whooping it up with those ladies so bad that you have to feign a pregnancy? Like, what's happening here?
No way. There's no way.
I didn't find the storyline very useful. Once again, I wonder why Lizzie is on this trip and she didn't have anything to bring to the episode.
Yeah, except
now, if she would have been preggers. That would have been something.
There you have it.
Yeah.
However, she did bring a lot of white wardrobe.
A lot of white wardrobe.
She's a brave lady.
What's up with that white?
Yeah, I know. Everything was white, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. I think she wore white a lot last season, though, too.
Yeah, I mean, it looks beautiful on her with her complexion.
Tan.
Yeah, so it works for her. But brave lady, I feel like I wouldn't go anywhere in white ever.
Agreed.
Personally.
Well, especially with my skin color the way it is.
And just, like, the logistics of it all. It's a very...
You have to be very confident in your environment.
Yes. Yes. In your environment. Yeah.
Well, one of the housewives that didn't wear white or anything at all was Tamra, and she just was like so excited to be on this trip. She just took it all off. And like, let me tell you, sometimes I get excited when I go away, but I've never been like that.
I was like, do tell, girl.
You get to the room and you see the place and you're like, yes, this is what I've been working towards.
Like, you're like, yes, I've got to take my clothes off.
But yeah, I never, no. There's certain things that just don't need to be seen.
Well, it's because you don't have two very nice round skin-colored tennis balls up in here show off and not worry about where they're going or where they've been. They are just there.
They're there.
You might as well take them along.
I loved Heather's word for what she saw. The lovely nipples. Tamra, everyone can see your nipples.
She'll try anything to make it fancy.
Right. I gotta say, though, I could get as excited as Tamra there and do a little skinny dipping when I arrive.
Yeah.
I gotta throw it out there.
We're taking you too, girl.
I know. I just got a little we gotta test this out, Livy.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you.
That's inside of here, I think, when you get to a place and you're like, oh, I've got to be one with nature. I think that could be me.
I get that. But would you do that with a camera crew there?
That is the only caveat that I could see. Like, for example, Megan had some hesitations and she was like, no, I don't want anyone to see me naked. Yeah, because the camera crew's there. So I could definitely see some hesitation there. Tamra, however, has been on for season after season.
Yeah.
So I think at this point, her inhibitions are just out the window.
This is her second set of boobs at this point.
Yeah. She's seen it. Show them
all. Completely.
We've seen everything.
Yeah.
She has nothing to hide.
No, they've seen it. They've seen it. It's like, whatever.
Yeah, right. At this point.
No big whoop.
Right. Well, let's go into a brief segment here of cheers and jeers and give our highlights and lowlights of tonight's episode. A quick little moment that stood out to us or made us roll our eyes. I'll go first with my cheers. My cheers was to the little flashback we were treated to of the TPing of Gina's house a couple seasons ago.
It was such a good memory.
It was kind of out of nowhere, but I appreciate it. I thought it was cute. I like seeing Vicky in that stupid mask. That was such a stupid scene, and it was such a low grade of TPing. I mean, it was like literally like
a friendly TPing.
A friendly, yes. But you know, I like a good Gina break every once in a while. And my jeers goes to Shannon, who seemed to be falling apart this episode. We had to hear about how she had to keep cleaning out her lungs. She had to take amino acids. Her body was falling apart, her weight, her boobs. So I just want her to get it together. She just seemed to be kind of slipping off a little bit. And then she pulled it back up in the second part. But I don't know. She was kind of like looking like an old lady there for a minute.
Touch and
go. I was worried for her.
Yeah, she was in rough shape for sure. She was. Well, my cheers for this episode go to the staff of, I believe it was the Sofitel Hotel.
Oh, yes.
I mean, from letting it all hang out while welcoming the ladies to this poor guy who was waiting on them and had no clue what Fireball was. He was so sweet. He said, my English isn't perfect. He tried to explain it to them. And I related to this. I've worked at lots of tequila bars where people come in who speak only Spanish and expect me to speak Spanish because that would make sense there, but I don't speak Spanish. So I get it. I get this, like, listen, people, I'm just going to give you some liquor. You're on vacay. We're going to have a good time, and it's going to be A-okay.
I like it. I like it. Yes.
And jeers have got to go to these ladies splitting up and not just coming together in a girl power fun moment where they all get together and whoop it up together. They have to split it up. So that's my jeer.
That's a good point. Yeah. Very good point.
All right, so my cheers for this episode was I delighted in all the, sadly, when they did split apart. Not because they split apart, but all the drunken antics that ensued once the three of them, Vicky, Tamra, and Shannon were together. And Vicky licking... No. Tamra licking Vicky's face. I thought that was fantastic.
That was hilarious.
A cheer.
I definitely was amused. And my jeers is I was kind of bummed out when Tamra had to like ask the guy if he was wearing undies. Like,
oh, totally.
Like, just be respectful of their
thing. Of their custom.
Yeah, like, whatev. Yeah. She goes topless. If he wants to go balls out, then
he has every right.
Good point.
You don't need to call him out for it. He's doing a lovely welcoming thing.
It was beautiful. Wasn't it like a wonderful moment? And then here comes Tamra.
Yeah, like,
with I wear undies?
I don't, no.
Boo.
Sorry, Tamra.
Yeah. So my cheers in this episode is actually in favor of Shannon. Now, she had a little rough start at the beginning, but as far as I'm concerned, she pulled it out in the second half. I was so excited and so proud and so happy. I've been longing this whole episode to see her in
season.
Just like, yes.
Season.
I'm sorry, this whole season, truly. To see her in a fun, positive, just fun-loving sort of way. And I finally got it this episode. I loved it, Shannon. She what tipped it off for me was when she jumped in the water and went swimming with the sharks and stingrays, because I thought for sure she was going to have another problem with that. But she didn't. She embraced it. She loved it. She'd jump on in, and then she just kept the party going. She was drinking and doing the shots, and I loved it. I love that version of Shannon. I want to see
Vacation Shannon.
Vacation Shannon is my kind of Shannon. That's the Shannon I like to see. And then my cheers, as hilarious as it was a little too tacky for me, was Vicky's moment of driving the golf cart up onto the walkway.
Good one.
And everyone just like... what are these women doing driving this little car on our walkway? It was a little too much. Funny, but we could have done without. That was my moment.
I was like, who's going to get arrested? Is she?
I know.
Are they going to send her away?
I agree with Tamra. I'm like, that little on-ramp is going to break. Like, what's happening here?
Everyone's going to fall into the water.
I kind of like that one because I feel like that's something I would do. I'd just be like, oh, vacation. What are they going to do to me? I paid to be here.
And Vicky played it so well. She just kept going and saying, is this okay? Is this okay? Because I'm going.
I'm just going.
Just going.
You better deal with it.
Yeah.
I love it.
There we have it.
Well, let's get to the more dramatic portion of our episode tonight, talking about Megan being this newfound stepmom and the problems that some of these ladies find with this relationship with Megan and her kids. And of course, there's tears shed. And, you know, what did you think of this moment where they were at the bar and Megan was like, I want them to be my own. I wish they were my own. And then, of course, Vicky and Tamra having that reaction that they had.
I was feeling bad for Megan, and she was right. She kind of kept making the point, listen, none of you ladies can relate to the being the stepmom. And, of course, they come from the point of view of being the mom, which in this case is what everyone was sort of focused on. But I think, you know, she didn't really kind of have a friend in this fight. And I was sort of feeling bad for her because it did seem very genuine. And her explanation of it all was that she really has a love for these kids. And kind of her point was that other people don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I felt
completely.
Bad for her.
I agree with that.
Are you turning to me?
Oh, right. I mean, I have many. I have many opinions, but
just real fast. Hello, Talia Israeli. She's watching and sending love from Israel. So
hi, Talia.
We're sending love right back at you. And hello also to Small Body Big Life.
Oh,
we love that you love AfterBuzz.
Yes.
Small Body.
Welcome. Hello.
So I was kind of on the other end of the spectrum.
Okay.
In the sense of...
Tell us about it, Allison.
So, you know, I think it's fantastic that Megan cares for these stepchildren so much. You know, obviously you want that. You want a new stepmom or someone coming into the mix to love your kids as opposed to hate them, I guess, right?
Send them up for school. Evil stepmothers.
But I think there's like this fine line of respect because obviously... if you're a biological mother of children, there's a certain inherent
bond
thing. Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's like you're the kids of that person and someone else just kind of staking claim and being like, I wish you were mine. That's a little creepy on some level. You know, I mean, so I think it's like a dance. It's like, you know, I care for these kids a lot. I understand, you know, they're not my own. I have a tremendous amount of love, and I aspire or I hope to be a fantastic mother to my own children because I love kids so much. I don't know. It just could have been articulated, I think, differently.
I totally see where you're coming from.
Yeah, see what you're saying, because one thing she didn't really elaborate on and what we haven't heard from her or Jim is if they are planning on having a family or, you know, several children or one child. Or, we haven't heard that from them yet. So if this is coming from a place of she's desperate to have her own children, that would make her viewpoint more understandable as well. And also maybe that's not something that Jim wants. She certainly talked about it like it was something that was going to happen in the future, but maybe he doesn't want that. And so that could be something that's weighing on her too. Maybe they haven't decided yet, which would make sense as to why they haven't put it out there. But that could be a major sticking issue too, and maybe
totally true. And yeah, and while I do agree with you, Allison, where it can very easily become sort of a territorial thing, like these are my kids, stay away from my kids, they're my biological, you know, property sort of thing. You know, that's the hardest thing in a blended family like that is to have to mix your children with the new step person that becomes involved. That's the hardest thing. And the honest, you know, fact of it really is that it doesn't behoove anybody to hold any grudges. It's far more beneficial for everybody involved
to have
some sort of level of getting along and sort of understanding. And, you know, Megan has a very interesting, aspect in this whole sort of stepmom role in that one of her stepchildren has an ailing mother who we just recently found out passed away. So, you know, these other women are kind of looking at it as the mother is still alive and how dare you step on the mother's toes. But what if you were put in a situation where the true biological mother has passed away and you're sort of now in the position to truly become more of a legitimate
maternal unit?
Mother figure. Yes. Maternal, you know, person to this child. So, you know, that might also be weighing on Megan in this moment where she's thinking, well, okay, everything that you ladies are saying is well and good, but at the same time, I'm being put in this position of really kind of being a true and honest mother to this one child who's now biologically motherless. So, you know, I think there's a lot going on with her in this moment, and I see both sides. I truly do.
Yes. No, I mean, I can see that too. I just think it's one of those things where, especially in the case of her being the stepmom now to what, Haley?
Yes, Haley is her name.
So Haley is not a young, I mean, she's not, how old are his other kids? They're much younger, toddlers.
Yeah, I think she's the first, right? The oldest?
Yeah. So there's something to be said for someone that has grown up with a mother for 17 years of her life or, you know, thereabouts. And someone someone is coming in to kind of facilitate that role in place of your dying mother, it doesn't work. I mean, you can lean on someone like that, I think, for emotional support and feeling like you're connected to someone who's a woman. But I think Haley's not dumb. She knows that Megan is, 11 years older than she is. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like a level of she's not
and
she's
simply
not
her biological mother. Simply not her. I mean, it would be extremely hard to have someone come in and just take that place overnight, you know, of a parent.
So I'm not discrediting it. Obviously, I think Megan's doing a very, you know, it's an admirable thing to step in and kind of assume all those different responsibilities and stresses. But it's also like, you know, you have to understand the other side of the coin, too, with who these kids are and everything that they're attached to. And, you know, I think that they should look to the Stuarts and Hamiltons. That's what I think that they should do. I think they should look to them. And speaking of the Stuarts and Hamiltons, hello to Nicolau Cresswell, who is watching from England. I was going to get you in there, Nicolau. Mm-hmm.
There we have it.
That was my transition. Yes, I think that they should... Stuarts and Hamiltons.
I know, they are the poster family for the blended family.
Blended family.
Very true.
Very impressive.
Well, Vicky says straight out she finds it disrespectful, this whole dynamic. And in my opinion,
it's harsh. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of just to go out there and say that because, you know, certain people establish different relationships according to who they are. And I applaud Megan for really wanting to be that figure in that family. She's taking it seriously. She could easily say, look, I want my own. He's got the others, and I'm going to concentrate on my own family. But, you know, she's really taking it seriously, and I really don't think the other women should have such a strong opinion to her face about it. It's one thing to feel a certain way, but to really kind of call her out and make her break down in tears, that's how she's choosing to go about this marriage, and I think they should respect that. You know, I am not a parent, not anywhere near it, especially an ex whatever. I mean, it's like, so I really don't know if I should be judging, but I feel like, you know, just kind of let her do her thing. If that's how she wants to go about that relationship, then they should just say, you know, whatever and cast no judgment because she could be a deadbeat stepmother.
That's true.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah, but you also don't want to be, like, the stepmother that's, like, stealing kids away either. Or doing some... I mean, like, what I've seen enough creepy movies where you're like, ooh, wait a minute, you know. Anyway, okay, sorry.
Yeah, that's a whole nother topic.
I feel like we haven't seen enough. We haven't seen her interact with the other kids. Like, we don't know, like,
that's
what
true.
Their personal relationship is like. We don't know, like, what lines...
Yeah,
you know,
and
set,
I
you
personally feel like she's kind of coming at it towards her specific situation with Haley. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that, I think, is kind of, like, the strongest and the most kind of tugging at her heartstrings, maybe, that when she's referencing being a mother to children, she's literally referencing, like, trying to step in and be a mother to, like, the one who's kind of troubled the most. So that's kind of where I see her sensitivities and maybe where the tears came. Because I feel like, you know, if things were not the way they were, maybe she wouldn't have reacted the way she did. Mm-hmm. But I feel like since, especially during this time period, she might have been just really, just her emotions were very heightened, that she was just very sensitive and then the waterworks started, mm-hmm. I think, anyway.
Well, yeah, and you made a good point too, Grant. I mean, with Vicky being the one that attacked her over this, it's kind of odd. If anyone who would have sort of had a dog in this fight, it would be Tamara.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Whose ex-husband and his new girlfriend are literally trying to take the custody of her children away.
Has gone
from
through
her.
That battle.
Yeah, so I think if it would have been Tamara, the one that was going hard at Megan, I would have had a bit of a different take on it than Vicky. Come on.
Yes,
Vicky,
and speaking of Vicky, the bigger issue that I had with Vicky, rather than her kind of attacking Megan for the mother-child kind of issue, was the fact that she's so hard on Megan for the relationship she has with Jim, and she's constantly like, oh, you're not with him 100% of the time. That's a red flag. That's a problem. That's all this. Well, we just saw, you know, two episodes ago that she does not have a very honest and open relationship with her family or people with Brooks, which is fine. Sometimes families have issues like that, and you got to do what you got to do to be with the person you love. I get that. But if that's your scenario as well, who are you to judge on another person?
She's projecting.
Completely. To say like, oh, no, that's wrong or that's right. Because yourself are having, you know, certain limitations and obstacles in your own personal relationship. So that to me was like, come on, lady, who are we to throw stones here?
Don't throw those stones.
Don't throw those stones.
Well, another housewife was looped into this conversation. Apparently, Heather is good friends with Jim's second wife, Allison.
Right. And of course, me.
Not this one.
Not this one.
She spells hers with two L's.
No, so okay.
Not this one. So one keeps it simple with one. Simple.
So you don't have Jim Edmonds money?
No. Not over here.
No.
So basically, we learned that, well, the ladies were questioning, like, how can she be such like good friends now with Meghan if she was friends with the first wife? Like, isn't that kind of crossing boundaries? I don't know. That to me is like a total girl thing.
That was very
thing.
Interesting. That was all like, very interesting.
I don't know. What do you stand?
If the family's making it work with wife number one and two and three and they're all cool, why shouldn't their friends be all cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yes. And, you know, I got to say that I feel like maybe as a woman or maybe as a person, I don't know which way it is, but I feel like your initial reaction would be, oh my goodness, I have to take sides and I have to be loyal to like the first one that I'm friends with. But then again, I just have to go back to the whole blended family scenario that it does not benefit anyone when there's grudges being held. So if you can find a balance between befriending everyone that's involved, presumably that second wife has moved on. Mm-hmm. Presumably that second wife is already remarried and is happier than clearly than she was with Jim, and it's fine. Because that's the thing is when you're holding on to grudges and problems, that's when this all becomes hairy and it's like a gray area. When you both have been unhappy and it was an equal, amicable split, now maybe it wasn't, but you know, if something was amicable, you should both be able to move on and continue your lives and co-parent in a mature fashion, and then we're all adults, we can all be friends with who we want to.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing about Heather. I think in general, she is someone where I think she keeps it pretty real and in the sense of her relationship with friends and stuff. So she doesn't strike me as someone where she couldn't be friends with all of the ex-wives or present wife, ex, whatever. And the nature of relationships is also different. So even though you're friends with, you know, the current one, it doesn't mean that your relationship is a carbon copy of the one that you have with the one you've known longer. You know, every relationship with anybody, you know, all your friends, it's different. The things you need from friends, it's always different.
Completely.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know, she can have all the friends she needs.
Yeah. She can. I thought the same thing. And I was like, wait a minute, is there something I'm not seeing? Is there some type of girl code here that I'm, like, not privy to? But who cares?
Yeah, and I think you'll also notice that, like, Shannon was the one to bring that up. Shannon was the one to say, oh, no, that's girl code. Like, you have to be friends with the second wife because I was just in that scenario. No, no. Shannon is speaking from a place of hurt. Mm-hmm. She's speaking from a place of truly being upset with David, even to this point in this episode that we've seen in this season. She's not healed from anything. She's not over anything. She is not done with anything. So she's truly like in a position to have grudges and to have judgment against any other woman that would be involved in friendship or whatever. So I think that, you know, when people are over things, that's when you can think clearly and be friends with whoever. And Shannon is just speaking from a place of hurt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of Shannon, she had that moment on the phone tonight. And I know, Blake, you were like getting ready for a big meltdown. Vacation Shannon hadn't yet arrived yet.
No, she hadn't yet.
So we were like, oh, what did you think of that moment?
Oh, I was irritated.
As we all were.
Yeah, because I got to say, you know, that was concluding kind of that first half of our episode where Shannon was really having a rough beginning. We keep getting highlighted kind of with all of these issues that she has. And yet again, this one was kind of capping it off. She had the issue with David. You know, David can't have the kids, but 2 days or however long she's been gone, that this big fiasco happens and she's so upset. And a year ago, she would have cut his head off. And just all these things that she said were just so negative and harsh. You know, when you're in a good relationship and when you're okay with things, if something like that happens, you say, cool, honey, deal with it. I'm in Morea. We'll deal with that when I get home. You know what I mean? Yeah. So she wants to take everything and make it so negative and make it a thing. And then that was my issue with it, was just like, why are we taking it there? Let's let David handle it. He is your husband after all. You're trying to heal things. He can take responsibility for some sort of scenario. And, you know, and then that's what it is. And so it wasn't until shortly thereafter that my vacation Shannon showed up. Yeah. And then I was all good with Shannon this episode.
Well, she mentioned that a year ago she would have ripped his head off. Yeah. Allison, what did you think of the new Shannon?
I always welcome that Shannon. Yeah.
Shannon?
Yeah, I love Vacation Shannon. I think, you know, when she's in her happy place, it's always just
she's
it's
great
better.
When she's in her happy place. Better.
Even
so likable.
She mentions that she's changed in a year, though. She mentions like a year ago she would have ripped his head off over the phone, and now she's like, you know,
specifically
the
David scenario.
But I think she handled that kind of.
Do you think she's really changed?
She also said, my kids. I would never let my kids. And I was like, ooh, wait, our kids?
That was a fighting word.
Good point.
I don't know. The thing is I don't know what he was saying on the other end, right? So we only have one side of that conversation. So
I feel like I do know what he was saying on the other end. I feel like he was just saying, hey, this happened. Oh, and yeah, she was like, oh, what are you doing with my kids? It was like that sort of thing. Because I feel like we've seen that in episodes past where he's just kind of saying like, oh, this thing happened. And then she gets all in her head about like, oh, well, you know, what was the scenario truly like? So I feel like it was a little bit of that. Granted, we did not see him on camera.
Right.
But I feel like it was kind of a reenactment of that.
It's so weird, though, because she's already got him separated from the family by saying that. You know what I mean? In her mind, she already got my kids. She's already got it separated.
Yeah. And my reaction was, why isn't she upset with the child and what the child did? And why isn't it about these girls went out and they TP'd the house and whatever, which is incredibly harmless. And I'm sure they're very well-behaved girls from what we've seen.
Yeah.
But this was about, oh, David, let this happen. It's like, but your kid did something wrong. Everybody's kids do stuff wrong. Mom's away. The mice will play. Whatever the thing is, like, get over it.
It's fine. And I will say the bigger red flag, more than David or more than the TPing or anything, was the fact that she said that she doesn't let her kids go on sleepovers and that she's been hesitant to let her kids go on sleepovers. Why?
A lot of parents nowadays are not into it.
My mom wasn't too keen on that.
You know what? I know. I have a bit of a kooky mother too, and Shannon in some ways reminds me of her. But I mean,
Mama V.
Yeah, for real. But you know that specifically. I mean, one thing that I did have growing up was sleepovers, and I feel like every child should have sleepovers.
I had plenty,
mm-hmm. and I don't think that there's any sort of issue with sleepovers. So for me, hearing her say that as being an issue was very much a red flag for me.
Well, I bet you they won't be going on anymore for quite some time.
Yeah, I know. They went to bed at 2 a.m. My God, I'd be in trouble every night of the week. I'd be in big trouble. Oh, Lord. Anyway, let's get into some news and gossip real quick. Is there something going down there?
I'm going to give some shout-outs.
Okay, cool.
Do it.
Well, everybody out there, if you're a fan of this show and you want to live yourself in Coto de Casa, you might know a little lady named Gina Keo, who is renting out her home. And if you've got 18 grand laying around every month, this may be the home for you.
What a steal.
You could be the next Real Housewife of Orange County.
Is her husband, the ex-husband, finally moving out?
He's probably the word, yeah.
He squatted in that house for like a decade after they've divorced.
Oh, Matt. That was his name, right?
Anyway,
so yes, Gina has put her home on the market just for lease. You cannot buy it, but you can rent. And just a little follow-up from a couple weeks ago, we talked about a very grisly situation that went down with Tamara's son and his fiancée, Sarah. We now know that there will be no charges filed. The entire case has been dismissed. It was a domestic quarrel.
Yes.
Dispute?
Yes.
Domestic
issue.
And apparently there will be no charges filed.
Good.
And Tamara herself says that the couple is in counseling with a pastor and that she did give... okay, you know what? There's been some really dirty details that have come out
about
this story.
Let's have it.
I'm not going to repeat them about Sarah's texting. Sarah was sexting some guy, and Ryan picked up the phone. There's a whole
cheating?
Yes.
Lots of scandalous. Oh.
Yes. Big dramatic story that you all can find on The Inquisitor.
I
won't repeat.
The Inquisitor,
but
please.
Shall it be true or not true? Tamara now says the couple is in counseling, and we shall see what happened with the two of them.
All right.
So,
they're trying.
All right. News and gossip for
I caught up.
Thank you, Christy. That was fabulous.
Yes. Wow.
That is some news and gossip for you.
Indeed.
For real. Let's take a moment, look forward, and predict what's coming up next.
Yeah.
I want to know what the chat room thinks is going to come up next.
So I am super excited for next episode because I feel like they've obviously broken down this Tahiti trip, or Moorea trip, to be more specific, into some key portions. Tonight was kind of the fun episode. We got to see everyone party and drinking and whooping it up, as Vicky kept liking to refer to it as. But next week, we see that stuff's starting to get a little crazy. We saw another little interaction between Megan and Shannon that was a little touchy.
A little tense.
And they're kind of starting to whoop it up in a not-so-fun way. A little more negative.
It's an anti-whoop?
It is an anti-whoop. It is a negative whoop.
Nobody wants to anti-whoop.
No one wants to anti-whoop. But yet the ladies look like they're embarking on an anti-whoop extravaganza next week. Seriously. So it looks really like there's going to be a lot of drama. It kind of looked like everyone had a little moment of being called out. There was a lot going on. So I'm excited for next week's episode.
I think everyone's going to be in the same place next week in Morea.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they're going to be in
there. Morea. So I'm predicting they'll be there. I'm predicting that that's where the show will be next week.
Good. I'm with you.
And I kind of second what you're saying. It seems that all that we were getting was really this. The only real nuggets that seemed interesting were the crap between Shannon and, here we go again, totally. Shannon and Megan.
I know.
I'd like to just also say hello to Jackie Maraquin and ex-Kinetic Sparks for also joining us in the chat today. And
love your commentary,
and
everyone.
And conversing with moi. Yes. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That's all I got.
they never give me enough to make an accurate prediction. I don't know.
It's so hard.
I think it'll be more of the same. I think it's going to be more ups and downs with like the fun parts, then the little dramatic moments, and then more of the fun, and then I think it's going to end with this kind of standoff fight.
Standoff!
Yes, with Megan and Shannon. I think probably what we saw, that clip, is probably how next week is going to end. Mm-hmm. So we'll probably do more speculating next week. What do you think?
Well, I predict that these ladies are never going to get their shots of Fireball. Fireball, for everybody who may be watching out there, is a brown. It is a whiskey-based
cinnamon.
Liquor.
It's so good.
It is not clear. It is not served with salt or a lime.
It is clearly not available in Morea.
Right. Yeah.
It's great. It's great when you have a cold. And you heat it up with a little lemon.
Ooh, like a hot toddy.
Yeah, kind of like a hot toddy. Like, heat it up, sip on it a little
bit. Maybe that's the problem. They don't need that in Morea. They don't need no hot toddies up in
cinnamon Becker. Drinks make me nervous. I don't think I can have it.
You sip.
Not shooting any Fireball anytime.
You're not a cinnamon man.
No, I'm a regular tequila guy. That's fine with me. But to do any type of Fireball, I don't know about that. I think I'd like get my these eyebrows and fall off my face.
That could happen.
Burn them
that
right up.
Really?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot here, too.
In addition to the Orange County ladies, Grant is another one who will not be having any Fireball anytime.
No, yeah.
It's unanimous.
If you say Fireball enough times, you want to sing the Pitbull song.
I've
noticed.
Yes.
It was Fire Blast. It was what? Shannon had all
Fire Bush.
Firebush!
Hey!
That's a whole other
Fire
kind of drink.
Yeah. Those ladies were a hot mess getting pulled into that pool.
But so much fun.
Goodness. It was fun.
You know, I've got to also say that this episode, we laughed so much.
Yeah.
We have not laughed this much at any episode yet thus far this season.
Yes,
so
I loved it.
I loved it. So I was really happy to just laugh with these ladies and have like some light moments and see Vacation Shannon and just have everybody really enjoying their time. I enjoyed that so much.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be about affairs and cancer and editing.
I loved it. That's why I watched this series. I like the drama part, but the stupid drama, like Daniel Stav drama. I love the ridiculousness of it.
It's so much fun because these ladies really do have a good time when they're in good spirits, when everyone's getting along, you know, like we saw tonight. Everything was kind of on the up and up, and it was fantastic. I enjoyed it.
And the opulence, the extravagance of these huts and the glass floor, and it's also fabulous.
And there was no mosquitoes that we saw, so it was as though they were just living a harmonious...
In paradise.
Yeah, paradise vacation.
Totally.
Exactly, yeah.
Does the live chat have something for us, Allison?
Well, Talia is Israeli said she's not loving this season. It's kind of negative.
That's true, Talia.
But she's enjoying our after show a lot more.
Hey!
There we go.
We will take it, Talia.
Yeah,
I'll
take
it.
Thank you.
I gotta say, I'll
thank
take
you.
It.
Thank
and
you,
on
Talia.
That note, please continue to rate and comment us. Give us those thumbs up if you like it. If you love it, we love it even more. So yeah, let us know. And keep the conversation going with us on Twitter. You can tweet all of us, and you can find me on Twitter, Grants_Rants. Ladies, where are they again? I already forgot.
I'm trying so hard to get better about the posting, the pictures, and all this stuff. So you guys can check me out at Christy Reports. And also, please visit ChristyReports.com. I have some great exclusives for you.
Ooh,
woo! You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, etc. at The Allison Dean. Yay!
And I am Blake V. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Blake V Media.
Whoop, whoop.
Yes.
There it is.
Whoop, whoop.
That'll do it for us for the Real Housewives of Orange County.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.